Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We are blessed to be here once again in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so happy. I am so excited on today. Amen. I praise God for being in the land of the living. Amen. I praise God for giving me another day in Jesus' name, giving you another day in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here again in Jesus' name. We do give honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of our life, in Jesus' name. And we also give honor to our founder of this broadcast, of this network, Bishop Sherlene Cook, in Jesus' name. We give you honor in Jesus' name, because the Bible does say, give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. And very much last but not least, I give honor to my pastor and First Lady, Pastor William Tuggle III, in Jesus' name, and First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle. Amen. We thank God for them in Jesus' name, even though I don't know if they're listening or not, but in their absence, in Jesus' name, I give them honor in Jesus' name, and the whole entire Triumphant Faith Apostolic Assembly family in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we are talking about, I just want to encourage you today. Amen. Today is going to, today's topic, the Lord has been dealing with me with about so much. I'm in the process of doing so many things right now. So the Lord has, I asked the Lord on this week on what topic should I do on today. I have various topics running through my mind for different things, for different situations going on with different things that are going on, different things that I'm doing right now. Amen. That was a tongue twister, y'all. I'm trying to say my words. Amen. But I have different things going on that the Lord has had me in, and I was asking the Lord, well, what should I talk about on today, on the broadcast on today? And the Lord said, encourage. Amen. I want to encourage somebody on today. Amen. The scripture that we are going to use today is in Psalms 34. And we have various other scriptures, but this is going to be our main scripture in Jesus' name, our main verses on today. And it comes from Psalms 34. The reason why, and I'm going to give you a scenario on why the Lord has commissioned me to do this on today. We have so much going on in the world today. As we already know, we're dealing with a lot of senseless deaths, a lot of diseases. You know, we're still, even though it's, you know, I won't say it's gone, but I will say it's died down a whole lot to when it started. Amen. And we thank God for that. We're still dealing with the COVID-19, the coronavirus, in Jesus' name. We're dealing with the inflation, a lot of things that are going on in Jesus'
name, our government system. We have a lot of things going on, but the Bible lets us know. The Word of God lets us know in Psalms 34. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. Verse number 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Amen. We thank God for these verses in Psalms 34, because this is what we need in the time that we are living in now. We are going through so much. We are faced with so much. We are being weighted down with so much. Amen. Today, I'm here to encourage you today to give God the praise. Give God the praise in all things. I will bless the Lord. Why did David say, I will bless the Lord at all times? Because it is good for us to bless his name at all times, no matter what we go through. It is good for us to bless his name no matter what we're faced with, no matter the tragedy or the circumstance, because life is not always a flower bed of ease. Life is not going to be a flower bed of ease whether you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost or you're not. Life's going to throw curveballs. Life's going to hit you harder sometimes than what you could possibly think. But the Lord has told us to give him praise in spite of. Why? As we said in previous shows, that praise is one of our weapons. Praise is one of the weapons of arsenal of weapons that we have in the spiritual. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. These things that we are faced with come upon us to try to do several things, shake our faith, move us away from the faith, move us out of our place in God. It tries to damage, it tries to destroy our relationship with Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. These are some of the things that the devil uses to try to steal, kill, and destroy us. But in everything that we do, we must praise the Lord. David was one that praised God in the midst of what he went through. This is why he was considered the apple of God's eye. When we look in the scriptures, we find a host in all of Psalms. Psalms is the book of praise. It lets us know that we must come in giving God thanks, that we must come in giving God praise. There is no time that we should not give God praise. The Bible says in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, it lets us know that we should give God praise in the good times, in the bad times. That's why in Psalms 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at what? All times. Amen. Now, you might say, well, you know, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I got this going on, I got that going on. So, Mr. Adam, how am I able to give God praise in the midst of all I'm going through? It feels like everything is weighted down on me. Everything is coming up against me at one time. Why? How can I give God praise? I feel like I'm getting ready to throw in the towel. Let me tell you and let me encourage you today. Do not throw in the towel. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but do not throw in the towel. God knows what you're going through. God took your problems, your issues, your circumstances. He took them all to the cross. And I preached a sermon one time. It was entitled, "It's a Fixed Fight." It's a fixed fight. As long as you and as long as we do not throw in the towel, as long as we don't give up on God, because God never gives up on us. The problem that happens most times when people go through tests and trials, a lot of times when they lose in a test or a trial, most times when if a person loses during a test or a trial, it's because of them, not God. It's never God. And you might say, well, how can you say it's never God? Because, you know, God knew that I was going to go through this. Why would God allow me to go through this? And because it's a test of your faith. Sometimes trials happen just to see where you are. Well, why would God want to test? Just to show you where you are sometimes. Some of us get the big head in this walk with Christ. We think we got it all together, and we think, hey, I'm so saved, I'm so sanctified, that can't nothing touch me, I'm untouchable, and then something come, and we ready to run. But we can't run. We can't run. If we ran every time something came near us, we would not progress like we are in life. If we ran at everything that came to it, and I'm going to use me as an example. If I ran from everything that came at me in my life, I would not be where I am right now. I wouldn't. And my parents have five children. My dad and my stepmother, we all together, we came together as a blended family, and all of us, we had all five of us. Amen. And I'm the baby of the family. And my parents can say we're all different in many different ways. But they've taught us how to be strong through adversity. Now, some of us show our strength in different ways. Amen. But the one thing that I remember my dad saying about me was, you're not afraid of anything. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, no, that's a lie. But my dad was letting me know, you know, you're not scared to try anything. In which I now know that is since I've gotten older that I am not afraid to try anything. I'm not afraid to. There's things that people have told me in my personal life that I could not do, and I've always, with the help of the Lord, defined it the odds, because I've never been afraid. Even before I got saved, I was never afraid to try. Even with a disability, I was never afraid to try. But when it came to certain things, yes, I would, you get a little bit fearful. Not saying I didn't have fear at all for anything, because I did, but I didn't let that fear overtake me to where I didn't try it at all. Amen. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I got scared, because I was like, wait a minute, how can a because I was originally called at 14. And I just looked. I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, you know, you know full well what I want, what I really, really want to do at that time. Even though I had a disability and all that stuff, I wanted to be a pro wrestler at the time. And the Lord let me know that you're not going to do that natural in the natural, but you're going to do that in the spiritual. You're going to be wrestling, yeah. You're going to wrestle. You're going to wrestle demons. You're going to take down the enemy's kingdom. I built you up to bring. I brought you all the way to here now to bring you to this moment. And the one thing that my parents say about me, I'm not, when it comes to the Word of God, especially, I'm not afraid to tell anybody about the Word of God. I've never, ever been afraid to tell somebody. When somebody asked me, I'll tell them. I didn't care if you was an adult. I didn't care if you was a child. I didn't care if you was family. I didn't care if you was friends. I knew the Word was the Word. And you're not going to tell me no different. Now, did I beat people across the head with it? No. No, I didn't do that. But when you came to me and you tried to drop, as my former pastor used to say, I am not a garbage can. You will not drop your slop gut on me. When people try to drop their slop gut on me and tell me, well, that's not the way it says, that's not the way. No, I know the Word. Not just because of my parents, but because my parents taught me how to study the Word of God. My pastor, my former pastor told me and taught me how to study the Word of God for myself. And when I studied it for myself, I really believed it because I knew it to be true for myself. And so couldn't nobody, I'm not saying I'm the best in interpretation. I know the best interpretation of the Word of God because I'm not the elite. I'm the least. I don't know a lot, but I do know when it comes to salvation, I do know that you need the Holy Ghost to be saved. I know that you need to be saved to make it to heaven. Amen. You're not gonna touch my salvation. You're not gonna tell me I'm wrong, cause I know I'm right. I've had friends tell me I was too saved. But the one thing that we're trying to bring out today is that the praise of a man, the praise of a woman, not only helps you, but it also moves God. It moves God to the point that, hey, I see my child going through, but she's still giving me praise. He's still giving me honor. He's still giving me glory. He's still worshiping me. She's still worshiping me. She's still giving me praise. He's still giving me praise. He's still, hallelujah, he's still coming to church. She's still coming to church in spite of what they're going through. You know, the best, I know one of the best examples of a person that lost something and really went through a test that I know of, and this in today, I forget the lady's first name, but her last name is Sister Coleman. And I don't know if you heard of the boat tragedy that happened here in Indiana, of the family members that died in the boat tragedy, and only two of the members of that family survived. It was a lady and her nephew. And this lady never wavered in her faith. She never wavered in her faith. She still believed that God was still on the throne, even though she lost her husband, I believe her children, and members of her family all in one day. Only one of her family members survived. Now, that's powerful. Yes, it's a sad tragedy. Yes, it is. But yet, she still depends on God to this day. She still believes God is still a good God to this day. I remember my former pastor had lost one of her children tragically. One of her children was tragically killed, was shot and killed, and the family was able to give their remarks to the person that took their family member. And everybody gave their remarks, and then after everybody gave their remarks, my former pastor, she was able to give her remarks. And she looked directly at this man that took her child, that took her baby, and said, "I forgive you and I love you." Now, I know I've never had that experience in my life. Don't want to have that experience. But that's powerful when you can tell somebody that's hurt you deeply, I can understand if you hurt by somebody taking something out of your home or taking something from you or, you know, whatever. We do have that in today's world. But when they take your baby, when they take your child, when they take your child's life, it's hard. I know it's got to be hard to say I love you to the person that took your baby and say I forgive you. And told the family, if you need me, call me. And gave the mother of the person that took her son, gave that woman a hug and told her, I love you. Now that is powerful. And it's all because of the goodness of God. She still said, God is still good. God is still good. He's great. He's still worthy to be praised. In everything that we go through, in everything that we do, the Bible lets us know to give God the praise. Why? Because it shows God where we are. That is a tool that shows God where we are. It moves God. He said he inhabits the praises of his people. I believe it's in Psalms. Matter of fact, let's go there. Psalms 22. I believe it's Psalms 22. Psalms, and like I said, I'm not the best interpreter of the word of God, but I do know enough. Amen. I know, and I can always learn. Amen. I can always learn. Amen. In Psalms 22, verse number 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praises of Israel." He inhabits the praises of his people. Now, Israel is God's chosen people. You might say, well, it says Israel. It doesn't say his people. But you know what? God said that he inhabits the praises. Now, God, Israel is God's chosen people. Amen? And you might say, well, that's Israel he's talking about. That's Israel he's talking about. How are you going to say that for me? Well, if you are sanctified, you've been Holy Ghost filled, you've been adopted into him, you've been adopted into the family, and guess what? You in the family of God. He still inhabits the praises. He dwells in the midst of praises. He is moved by praises.
He'll move faster for you if you give him the praise. You'll go, look, we take in life. I just got done teaching a Bible class on free will. God gave us free will to serve him. God gave us free will to choose. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. We have the free will to choose who we gonna serve. Amen. We have the free will to choose whether or not when we go through the issue, when we go through the problem, when we go through the circumstance, when we go through the tests and the trials of life, are we going to waver? Are we going to just sit there and take it? Are we going to get up and praise the Lord? Are we going to just sit there like a bump on a log? We got to get up and praise him. In spite of, and especially if you, look, you may not have, you might say, well, Minister Adam, I have nothing to praise God for. Yes, you do. You got a lot to praise him for. Because if you listening to this broadcast, I give you two, look, let me show you something. See, I'm about to bust somebody's bubble today. I'm about to bust the devil out. The devil has told people, you ain't got no reason to praise him. You going through this, you going through that. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but the devil has told some people, you ain't got no reason to praise him. Your child is acting up. This is going on. That is going on. And this is going on. Let me show you something. If you listen to this broadcast right now, you got a right to praise him. How do I know? Because you're hearing the word of God. That's a reason to praise him, because you got ears to hear. Come on here. And you're alive. You're alive to hear this broadcast. That's two reasons to praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are able to wake up this morning. And not only that, you woke up in your right mind because you was able to turn to this radio station. Hallelujah. You had it in your mind to turn to this radio station. So you was in your right mind. That's three reasons right there. I'm going to bust the devil out even further than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you drive it in your car and you're listening to it, hallelujah, you were able to walk to your car, to get in your car, to start your car, to drive, to listen to this broadcast. If you walk to, come on here, if you walk to your TV, well, however you listen to this broadcast on today. That's about four or five reasons right there to give God praise. Just saying. You may not have the biggest house. The Lord may not have blessed you to have the biggest house. The Lord may not have blessed you to have the finest car and or the finest clothes or all the money in the world. But hallelujah, the Bible says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Hallelujah. I got a praise on the inside of me. Why? Because not only I may not have all of the riches in the world, but I got enough. Hallelujah. I got something that is priceless. I got Jesus on the inside. And that is a reason to give God praise. If you got the Holy Ghost on today, if you know that you know that you know that you know that your calling and election has been made sure, and you know that you're going to heaven, that is a reason to give God praise. If you know that you live in sanctified and holy, hallelujah, and you know that you got your ticket ready for heaven, and if you know that you know that if the rapture was to happen today, you will be taken out of here, out of this sinful, cruel world. That is a reason to give God praise. Hallelujah. That is a reason to give God praise. Hallelujah. Psalms 150. Hallelujah. Lets us know, hallelujah, that we are contracted to praise him. We're contracted. We got to bless him. We got to bless him. We ain't got no choice. You might say, well, David wasn't talking about when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Look, let me show y'all something. when Jesus gave the word of God to the people to write this word, when he gave alms to write the word, when he gave the command to write it the way God told them to, this Bible is a big letter to us, the people that are living in today. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a big, giant letter full of encouragement, full of instruction, full of correction, full of everything that we need in life. He is this big letter that I'm talking about. Everything is wrapped up and tied up in him. So if we follow this, we have a right to praise him. If we follow this word, we got a right to praise him. If we follow this word, I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you follow this word from Genesis to Revelation, because some people believe, well, if I don't have to follow the Old Testament, I just got to follow the New. No, that ain't what the Bible say. You got to learn how to eat the whole roll. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, the Bible says. And you know what? Hallelujah. Some food, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, not every portion of your spiritual meal is found in the New Testament. Not every portion, not every bit of your thirst is going to be found. Are the consumption of your thirst, the way you quench your thirst, that's the word I'm looking for. You're not going to find the quenching of your thirst all in the New Testament. You ain't going to find it all in the Old Testament either. You're going to find them in both parts. That's just a little side note for somebody. I know we're dealing with praise. Amen. The quenching of your thirst. The Bible says he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But you gotta go after it. And in your praise. Look, most times our praise brings us out faster than when we went in. Our praise brings us out faster. Let me show you how. When you go through your test in your trial or your problem or your circumstance, whatever you want to call it, when you go through that, you're going through wondering when you're going to come out. That's the first thing. That's the first thing anybody thinks. When am I going to come out of this? If we start praising God at the start, when we go through, when we start going through it, do you know you'll come out faster? As soon as you start thinking of the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Let's go back to Psalms 34. Watch this. This is what the Lord has given me. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how to come out faster, even though you're in the middle of it. You're still coming. You still came out of it. Watch this. You may not have seen yourself coming out of it, but the Lord has brought you out of it little by little. Watch this. In Psalms 34, let's go back there. Psalms 34, verse number 2 and verse number 3. Watch this. Watch this. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul, what, cries out, hallelujah, I praise God for saving me. Why does your soul cry out when you're thinking of the goodness of Jesus? because it's medicine for your soul. You're not worried about your problems at that moment. What you're going through has no effect on you at that moment. And guess what? Now, when you're crying out, when your soul cries out, hallelujah, other people are going to be attracted to that. Because sometimes I've said it before and I'll say it again, sometimes we go through for other people. And their need of something, they are in need of something. The people around you, the people that you are connected to, the people that need an encouraging word. Amen. That's why the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, my soul cries out, hallelujah. My soul cries. That cry that people hear goes right back into verse number 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof, and what? And be glad. And then it says in verse number 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Why is he saying this? He's saying this because you have made the cry. You have thought about what the Lord has done for you, and you kept thinking in the midst of your problem. And that praise and worship brought you out of that dilemma for those couple of minutes that you were thinking of the goodness of Jesus, and your soul began to cry out. Now, not only are you crying out saying, hallelujah, I know God's going to bring me out. God brought me out of this. God brought me out of that. God brought me out of this. God brought me out of that. Not only are you attracting people, but you're not only attracting people, but you're helping yourself, and you're also attracting God. Because we just read it in Psalms 22, verse number 3, that he inhabits the praise of his people. What does it inhabit? They come together. They're coming together. He loves to come to a place where praises are going on. The coming together. That's why the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, that's why the day of Pentecost went over so well. That's why so many people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ when Peter preached the message, because of the praises. Because when they receive the Holy Ghost, they receive something that is unexplainable. How do I know? You might say, well, how do we know that? Because they came out of that place speaking in tongues. And those people that were onlookers, because you're going to have some onlookers in life, they thought that these people were drunk because they came out speaking in tongues and overjoyed. They went in. Look, this is the way we go through our problems. Just like the day of Pentecost, we go into the problem, worried, messed up, confused, not wondering what's going to take place. But just like the day of Pentecost, they went in without the Holy Ghost, but they came out with it. They came out with something better. Why? Because they were all on one accord. They were all together. They were praising God. They were worshiping God. And God came into the room and filled them with the Holy Ghost. And they went out more greater than they did when they came in. And that's the same thing that we have to do when we go through our problems. That's the same thing that we need to do when we go through the circumstances. When we enter into that problem, we go into that problem knowing that God is able. We go in the middle of it while we're waiting on God to move. They waited on the Holy Ghost. What were they doing while they were waiting? They were praising God. While we're waiting on God to move, we need to praise God. We need to give him the praise. Now, I told Bishop Cook before we started, I said, just keep She know what I said. Keep the time on there, because I want God to have his way. I don't know what God is going to do, but everything going to be all right. She know what I'm talking about. Amen. Because me personally, this is not my doing. When I go through things and when I have problems going on, I don't worry about them. I don't worry about them. I tell my wife a lot. Sometimes when we're going through family things in the house, she's like, "Baby, what we gonna do?" I'm like, I don't tell her I don't know. I just tell her everything gonna be all right. And I stand on the sure foundation. Me being the head of the home, I can't get fearful. Even though sometimes I don't even tell my wife that I'm in. I don't know what to do. There has been moments in my life, even when I was single by myself, I didn't know what to do. After, hey, look, everything going. That was my key word, and I used that word in my marriage. Everything gonna be all right. Because I know if I try to fix it myself, everything gonna be messed up. Everything will not be all right. If I start worrying, this is what happens when we start worrying. This is what happens. We mess up things more than what they're supposed to be. When we start worrying, we start moving in emotion. We don't start moving in the spirit. Uh-oh. Do you know why some people's stuff is so messed up in the midst of their test and they're trying to mess it up even more? Because they move off of emotion. People move when they get fearful. They move off of emotion. And that ain't just women either. Because I can hear some people say, well, eh? I heard somebody say to me one time, women move off of emotion. Yeah, they do, but some men move off of emotion too. Men move off of emotion too. It ain't just women that move off of emotion. It ain't just children that move off of emotion. There are grown men that move off of emotion. You don't believe me? Let that bill be due. Uh-oh. And you don't know what to do. You gonna go out and try to let your rent be due. If it's a good man, if you're a good man or a good husband or a good father, let your emotions gonna run wild. You're gonna be going out there trying to get two and three jobs. That's your emotions. I don't worry about all that. I don't worry. About where my next meal is gonna come from. I don't do that. And my wife, sometimes my wife get mad at me because sometimes she, what are you doing? Now it's not like I don't like. Okay, I'm gonna say it like this. When we have to go, you know, when the meal bill gets low. We go grocery shopping, you know, things like that. Normal family, you know, normal people do. They go grocery shopping. But I don't worry. My wife sometimes says, there's no food in here. Baby, there is food in there. The thing is that, and I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about in general. I'm talking about people do this. People do this. When they don't have the luxuries of their life, when they don't have the comforts of this, when people step out of their comfort zone, then they tend to get worried. And sometimes God wants us to step out of our comfort zone to show his power unto us. Uh-oh. We have to praise him. A lot of people don't like being moved out of their comfort zone. A whole lot of people don't like to be moved out of their comfort zone. They like staying in their comfort zone. They like staying in their area, and that's it. Hey, as long as I went through that. I went through that. When I left my former church for reasons that are not going to be told, amen. I left because the Lord told me to leave. I left because the Lord told me to leave. Amen. And I'm not going to get into deep detail, but the Lord told me to leave. And I was very, 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 very confused. I'm like, Lord, I've been here all my life. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And the Lord had already let me know ahead of time. But in the midst of my emotions, I didn't think about it. He had already let me know and warned me that this was getting ready to happen. The Lord sends warnings before destruction. Before destruction comes a warning. A warning comes before destruction. But the Lord let me know, and the Lord had to remind me, remember what your pastor said. When my pastor went on to be with the Lord, when my former pastor went on to be with the Lord, I was devastated. And this is me talking. I was devastated because this is all I knew. For 20 plus years, I knew nothing else. I was getting ready. The Lord was getting me ready for it because somebody came to me and said, well, what if? And I don't believe that they were, you know, talking outside of their neck regarding my former pastor, because I'm like, I don't believe that person was talking outside of their neck, you know, trying to get smart or whatever. I believe that they were just trying to ask, you know, what if something was that? What is it that you're going to do? What are you going to do? And I didn't have an answer because I felt comfortable being where I was. Because I had my pastor. I wasn't going. I even went so far as one of my relatives asked me to move out of the city of Indianapolis, Indiana, out of the city and state of Indianapolis, Indiana, to move out west on the west coast. Had a relative ask me, well, why don't you move out here? I'll get you this. I'll get you that. If you move out here and da-da-da-da-da. So-and-so, the only thing, because I wanted to, but the only thing that's stopping me was God got me where he want me. God got me where he want me. And I love where I'm at. And unless you can bring my church and my pastor, where you want me to go, to where you want me to go, I ain't going nowhere. Because the Lord ain't, first of all, the Lord ain't told me to move. And they got a little bit upset with me. I don't mind it. But there's various churches here. It ain't like this one. Because I was in a comfort zone. I was in a comfort place. I didn't feel like... 20 plus years, what do you know? Eating and dining on the word of God. No. Nope. Not doing it. Sorry. So I didn't know what to do. And I let my emotions take over. And I'm like, wait a minute. What am I going to do? And the Lord had to take me back to a word that my pastor said to me. My pastor told me, she said, should something happen? And I can't believe I'm saying this on air. She said, go with your mother and your father. They have a work that they have to do, and they're going to need you. Go with them. So I went. After she left off the scene, I was wondering where to go, wondering what to do. And the Lord said, told me what to, reminded me of what my pastor said. And I said, okay, Lord, I know what to do. And I went. And I've been having so much joy ever since. Has it been some bad days? Has it been some not so good days? Yeah. Yep. But he pulled me out of my comfort zone for a reason, because I wouldn't be in the place that I'm at right now had I not been pulled out of my comfort zone. A lot of people, they can't praise God. Some people can't praise God unless they in their comfort zone. And I hate that. I hate that. You can only praise God when you're in your comfort zone, when you're getting blessings. The devil is a lie. There's something wrong with you. If you gotta put God on the back burner when you going through. Some people put God on the back burner when they're going through, don't want to give God any praise. And some people put him on the back burner when they got stuff and they don't need nothing. And they don't want to give God no praise. But let me tell you something. Those that do that, let me tell you, you're going to need God more than God needs you. That's why we should continue to praise him. In Psalms 150, we are commanded to praise him. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Everything. Amen. We are contracted. That's our contract. That if you got breath in your body, you are contracted to praise the Lord. And the reason why you should praise the Lord, even if you got, I don't care if you got $1 million or a dollar or a dime in your pocket. You should praise him, because if you don't praise him, the very rocks will cry out and praise him. You don't believe me? These elements that are going, the trees praise the Lord. Trees have life. Say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That means life. The birds praise the Lord. The dog and the cat praise the Lord. Would you want a dog or a cat out praise you? Do you want a dog or a cat or a bird or a fish or something that has no due diligence of what you've been through? The dogs and cats ain't been through what you've been through. Why wouldn't you want to praise him? Why wouldn't you want to give him praise? He's owed the praise. He's due the glory. This praise is not just for him, but it is to help you. It is to bring you out. How do I know that my praise will bring me out? Because he said it. He inhabits the praises of his people. It moves him to move for you. When we go through the test and the trial, remember that if you praise God, now praise is not the only thing that moves our problems away. Amen. Some of these things come through prayer and fasting. Amen. And reading of the word of God and having faith and having on the whole armor of God, you know, all of that stuff. But praise is one of them. Amen. When you go through that test or that trial, no matter how long it is, praise him. Give God your best. And don't just give God a sloppy praise. Give God your best praise. Give him your very best. Just like you would want him to give you his very best. Well, God wants you to give him your very best. In everything that we do, not just praises, but in worship. Give him your best worship. Give him your best praise. Give him your best. Give him all of you. Make it your intent as of today to give him all of you. Everything you got and everything that you do, give him all you got. I encourage you today to give him everything you got. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what the test might look like. I don't care what your family might say about you. I don't care what friends or enemies or people will say about you. Give God your best. Give God an I don't care type praise. I don't care what it looks like. You want something unexpected? Give God an unexpected praise. Even though it's not unexpected unto God, because God knows all and sees all, but give God what's unexpected from you. Something that you wouldn't normally necessarily do. Amen. And if you can't shout if you ain't the best shouter, I remember Elder Billy Clark said at one time, you can do jumping jacks and just jump or leap up and down for Jesus. One of my brothers, he is not a shouter. He does not shout, but he'll leap. He will leap. I remember one time when I was little, we had a brother at my former church leap so high that my pastor had to redo the ceiling because he would leap so high that he would be so high into the spirit that he would leap so high that his head, the top of his head, used to almost hit the ceiling. So she had to lift. She had to have repairs done on the ceiling and lift the ceiling just so he would not hit the ceiling. His head won't hit the ceiling. That's how radical we need to be with everything that we do and everything that we go through. We got to be that radical. As much as the devil is radical with us, bringing us problems, bringing us trouble, bringing us circumstances, we need to be more radical for Jesus and give him the best we got and wreck all over the devil's kingdom. Run, rush out all over him. And let me say this before we go. Let me say this. The reason why you need to praise God in the midst of your test is not only for you. It's not only for the move of God. It's not only for people, but it also confuses the enemy. It also confuses the devil and his demons. It confuses them when you give God your best praise, when you're going through. When you're going through a test or a trial, give God your best praise because it confuses the enemy. It tells the enemy. It tells God one thing, but it tells the devil. It tells the devil another thing. It tells God, yes, my son, my daughter is still worshiping me and still praising me. I want to bless them. It tells the enemy, what in the world are they doing? I thought I had them. I thought I had him. I thought I had her. Wait a minute. Why are they still praising God? Why do you think God told the devil, have you considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man? Because Job would praise God through the midst of his problems. He knew Job, and the devil knew that Job was going to praise him too. That's why the devil said, well, if you move your hand, he'll curse you to your face. While you got your hedge over him, he can't come within. That's why we need to praise him. The Bible lets us know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. How do we get the standard in there? By praising God in the midst of it. Because he inhabits the praises of his people. He moves. When you start praising God in the midst of your test, And you might not see it right then and there, but God will eventually say, all right, devil, that's enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Get away from my child. Get away from my son. Get away from my daughter. And tell all of your problems to back off of you. All right? That's enough. I'm tired of looking at you trying to mess with them. Back off. And they ain't got no them problems, them demons, that devil, that slew-footed devil ain't got no choice but to back off when God says back off. You understand? You don't believe me? He told the devil, you can take everything he got, but you cannot touch his life. He couldn't come, he could come so far. God gives the devil limits. God gives your problems limits to where it can go. Yep, you can touch Sister Sarah, but you can't touch her life. Brother James, you can touch Brother James. You can do this to Brother James, you can do that to Brother James, but you can't touch Brother James' life. That's the limit you got. Can't take his life. You can do whatever you want to do to Bishop Cook, but you can't take her life. You cannot touch this. The buck stops here. And when I say back off, when God says back off, that your problems and your issues ain't got nothing, no choice but to back off, because they cannot come against the word of God. They cannot come against the authority of Jesus Christ. And you know what? While you're praising him, speak life over yourself. The Bible in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs it tells us the power of death and life lie in the power of the tongue. Do you know in the midst of your praises, you can speak life over yourself. You can change the situation. You can hurry the situation along by speaking life over yourself. My pastor, my former pastor, my current pastors tell us all the time that you do not need a prophet to come to town to prophesy over you. You got the same ability. The same God that lives in them lives in you. And the same God that spoke over that fig tree, the same God that spoke, that said, if you speak unto this mountain, that same God that said that lives in you. You got power to speak unto your problem. You got power to speak unto your circumstances and tell it to be thou removed. I'm gonna tell you this. We finna get out of here. I'm gonna tell you a funny story. Since I started my job, at me being a teacher at a daycare, I have enjoyed being, I really enjoy being a teacher. I enjoy my students. Students, I love them. I love them like they were my own children. And one day I was coming into work, and my director came to me and said, Adam, all the lights are out, but we got to call parents and have the parents come and get the children because we can't do anything with the power out. The lights were out. And I said, okay. So me and other staff started calling parents and everything. And it didn't dawn on me until I started thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. If the power's out and the kids are going home, what does that mean for us? And I started thinking, I'm like, I went to my director, and my director, I said, well, are we getting paid for half a day or full or all day? And she said, well, if we go home, we're only getting paid for half a day. Make a long story short, I said, oh, no. I didn't tell her that. But what I said in my head, I said, oh, no, the devil is a lie. I want my full check. Amen. I ain't crazy. I went to my classroom. There were no students in my classroom. I went there, and I started praying on the inside of me. Everything in me started praying. I said, Lord, turn back on these lights. I just, just to show your glory. For me to get a full check, please. I need these lights turned back on and to show your glory. Turn back on these lights. Not even 20 minutes later, them lights came back on. My director was so upset. She said, oh, man, we was getting ready to go home, and I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. She said, what you apologizing for? I said, I prayed for the lights to come back on. I prayed for the lights to come back on. And she said, what? I said, yeah, I prayed for the lights to come back on so I can get my full check. I don't know about y'all. I don't know about y'all and y'all's stuff, but I want my full check. I want my full day. And she said, oh, what? She said, she started laughing and said, you really prayed to God that the lights would come back on? I said, yes, ma'am. I sure did. I was being dead serious, too. I looked at her with a serious look on my face, like I wasn't playing. I sure did. And the lights came back on, too. And we have a person that in my school is a lady that is a Muslim, and there's nothing against Muslim, nothing against Muslim. We don't have any. I'm not speaking against any religion or anything when I say this. Amen. But my director told this lady what I did, and the lady got mad. She said, Oh, man, I was going to go home and da-da-da-da-da. And she said, well, wait a minute. Oh, man, I know you prayed to Allah, and Allah answered and everything. I said, no. I said, I'm sorry, but no. And then I began to say, no, I'm not. I ain't sorry. I know I did not. I did not pray to Allah. I did not pray to Buddha. I did not pray to none of them. I prayed, but I didn't pray to them. She began to ask me, she said, well, who did you pray to? I called on the name of Jesus. I called on the name of Jesus just for something simple like that. And she said, really? I said, yes, ma'am. I sat right dead in my classroom, and I prayed on the inside, and I called on the name of Jesus. I thought about the prayer. I was thinking in prayer. And I was just thinking on his name, and he heard me. See, that's the power that God possesses. That even when you think, that's why the songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. Amen. But even just when you think of Jesus, he can move. He can move you out of your situation. I know it's a funny story, but that was just an example of what God can do when you think on his goodness. Amen. Amen. I pray that you got something out of this. Amen. Amen. I pray that the joy of the Lord will continue to be your strength on today. I pray that everything will be well with you. In Jesus' name, I pray that this week coming, that this will be the best week of your life and going forward, continual blessed weeks of your life. In Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. This is on Blog Talk Radio. And this is the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be spiritually transformed. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I thank God for each and every person, each and every listener around the world that comes and listens to every single show that we have right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. God bless you all. Bishop Cook, thank you for allowing us to come one more time in Jesus' name. And allowing to bless the people of God in Jesus' name. And we praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. And until next time, till next Saturday, God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother Lois used to say, if you don't see me again, And in this case, since we're on the air, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face one day. This is the only way to see heaven in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, God bless
you. Amen.